We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm laughing the moment that we're coming on air. Welcome to the Week 9 Underworld Stack Fest, brought to you by Player Profiler and, of course, rotogrinders.com. For anybody, a little how the sausage gets made, Dario is the one who picks our games that we are going to talk about every single week. And there's a private chat, right, going on behind the scenes, and we get down to the last game. And this slate is so gross in terms of game stacking that it's just a bunch of questions. You know, it's like, this game, should we talk about this one? And so it's kind of an intro into this slate where it does feel, we were talking a little bit before we went live, I don't feel like anything is super straightforward, kind of like we have had for a lot of this year in terms of, this game is, you know, the top priority. This game is clearly the game stack. So I think this show will be very good, maybe selfishly for me, to start to hone in on kind of some of the games that we like best. Really quickly, before I pass it off to these guys, another quick recap of last week. Maybe third time will be the charm that will absolutely hit the stone cold nuts, but it's hard to beat, honestly, the last couple of weeks that we've had here on the show. Jacob filled in for Dario last week, and we had another, honestly, an awesome week.
Sorry, Dario. We did it without you.
We weren't sure if we were going to bring you back.
Listen, we could have used you, okay? It wasn't we didn't have it totally taken care of without you, but we did pretty good.
You helped us, of course. Not that anybody, you know, wasn't talking about the Dolphin stacks, but lots of things we got into with kind of all the games, honestly, that went crazy. All the running back spots. We really got into a lot of different things and hit on a very, very, very high percentage of them. So I'm really excited to kind of keep what we got going. Matt, kick us off before we start to dive into like the first game. This slate is strange, right? No Hurts, no, you know, there's Josh Allen, but like that's it, and it's the Jets, and that game doesn't even really feel all that fun. It's so. We'll talk about it for sure. But how are you feeling about this slate? It feels awkward to me at first, kind of.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird one. And Dario, by the way, we got people off Daniel Jones stacks. We said no to Daniel Jones stacks. That was huge. That was a big one. So sometimes it's the stacks you don't play.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So yeah, so because he and I talked about it before the show. I was like, "What about the Giants?" He's like, So you know, my take is here. You know, I'm gravitating toward the Chargers here because, hey, if not now, when? Right? You're not gonna play Herbert this week against the Falcons, right? It was like last week with DJ Moore. It's like, why even have him if you're not gonna play him? Like why even you're never going to play him. You'll never play him if you don't play him this week. You'll never play Herbert. He's a reasonable price. No one is in like a super smash spot other than Geno Smith, who is, you know, doesn't have the same level of upside. The weird thing is, though, when you compare Geno versus Herbert, I think that's a kind of interesting dichotomy. One guy has like weapons, right? Lockett, Metcalf, The other guy has Josh Palmer, who is the quintessential average receiver. He is literally at the across every metric almost. He is like ranked 47th out of 95 receivers. That's what he is. And his measurables, everything average. But it's interesting in that you can salary save too with DeAndre Carter. So it's just, it's an interesting thing. Does wide receiver quality matter for quarterbacks? Like, that is a big test for Justin Herbert. If he gets there this week with these guys, with this cast of characters, then, you know, he's going to be a long way toward, you know, getting all the way back to where we had him before the season.
And to piggyback on that, Dario, the interesting thing is this spot, like Matt said, if it's not going to if it doesn't happen this week for Justin Herbert, we may just never talk about a Chargers game on this show again, even though their defense is, you know, a sieve and Austin Eckler is great. They made this Falcons defense without AJ Terrell made PJ Walker look like an NFL MVP, not just an XFL MVP. This guy couldn't complete a forward pass last year. If everybody remembers, I know PJ Walker looks good. Maybe he's just taken a step or something. Last year, it was like PJ Walker and Cam Newton bouncing back and forth at quarterback for Carolina after Darnold got hurt. And neither one of them could do absolutely anything. And DJ Moore was there. CMC was there, right? There was guys were there. Robbie Anderson was there. And now, I don't know if PJ Walker has taken that step, but he certainly looked it last week and it was in this spot. If Justin Herbert can't do it against these Falcons, I don't know. What's your kind of take on that wide receiver versus quarterback versus defense matchup thing?
Right. First of all, we can pencil in Austin Eckler for like 15 targets. So make sure you're playing him regardless of what we end up saying about the rest of this game. And I think Gerald Everett also gets a pretty nice bump in the absence of both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I mean, I don't know if Keenan Allen's been officially ruled out yet, but he hasn't practiced this week.
He didn't practice today either.
Forget it.
What are his hamstrings made of? What are his hamstrings made of?
We talked about it. It got caught in farm equipment.
Gosh. Don't carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. I think my biggest concern with this game is the Chargers have one of, if not the league's worst run defense, and the Falcons, if there's anything that Arthur Smith loves, it's running the ball unnecessarily. And I think this is a game where he'd be justified to have a run heavy game plan. They could be getting Cordarrelle Patterson back. I think the reports today is that this is strange to me that the injured reserve transactions a lot of times happen on Saturdays, where they'll activate a guy, even though he's technically on injured reserve today, he practiced all week. And I think that there's a good chance Cordarrelle Patterson does return tomorrow. So I think that there's just so much concern for me that the Falcons just, you know, completely slow this game down and make it uninteresting for all the weapons outside of Eckler on the Chargers side of things.
So question on CPAT. Because kind of the things you were saying was leading me to, okay, if CPAT doesn't get activated, do we go back to our lovely 2 weeks ago winner, and I guess probably somewhat this week winner of the Eckler, right? For everything that's been said about this game, the one thing that none of us are like shaking our heads about or whatever is Austin Eckler, right? Because if the Chargers are going to move the ball, he's the constant in both the pass game and the run game. They don't have this choice of those first couple of weeks from the season where we had, you know, we're going to give Josh Kelly some work. They don't have that choice anymore. It's wheels up, try to win some games, and Austin Eckler is their way to do that. And then on the other side, if the Chargers run defense is against the Falcons and Arthur Smith just wants to run 90% of the time, does that mean Algier if CPAT is out? And does that mean, like, do we dive into the CPAT? Is that a sign for CPAT?
It's just hard. I think that you can, especially if CPAT doesn't get activated, I think that like playing, you know, one of the punt running backs from the Falcons, CPAT Algier or Huntley, you can plug one of them in with Eckler, kind of makes you able to afford Eckler and still have a decent rest of your lineup. So I think that that's an interesting way to look at it, because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't feel comfortable playing much of London or Pitts this week, right? Like, you can't play the receiving weapons on the Falcons, even though Pitts had one of his best games of the season last week. It just feels like a such a difficult dice roll.
Even then, one of his best games, it was in a shootout where the other team was scoring a ton of points, and he still didn't like I love Kyle Pitts. That was a fun celebration for a week. I enjoyed it on Twitter, being happy for Kyle Pitts and my best ball teams. But even then, that was the ceiling. Like, are we really going to pay $4,500 for praying for 5 for 80 and a touchdown?
Told you,
like,
man.
There's all these cheap guys, right? And we're going to go through probably some of them again in some of these games. And there's Everett on the other side of this game, who's a lock for more volume probably than Pitts. It's just, I love him. I will enjoy his good games, but I just still don't think I can play him in DFS. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, this is a weird one, man. This is a weird one. I mean, Caleb Huntley, 4.9K. Two out of the last 3 weeks, 16 carries, right? He's technically more carries than Algier. Is he taking over that backfield? He's certainly less expensive than Algier. So I think that Huntley would be the nice little dart throw at running back. And then you could play, Huntley with Eckler and Everett. Huntley with Eckler and DeAndre Carter. I find it interesting. The Roto Grinders rostered percentage has DeAndre Carter on DraftKings at 1.8% and 2.2% on FanDuel, both outside the top 35 wide receivers. I was like, isn't this what you're looking for? This guy has athleticism to burn. He's still 29. He's not quite 30. So he's got a great matchup, Isaiah Oliver. They give up a ton of fantasy points to wide receivers. It's the law of the conservation of targets. It's everything you're looking for. Like, I mean, I wish most weeks we had, you know, a 4.3K wide receiver who's in this kind of spot with this kind of athletic profile. We're squinting to try to find him. We think we found him. Oh, maybe Marquise Goodwin. Oh, DK Metcalf's active. Forget it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a much lower probability that Keenan Allen's active. So he's interesting. So, yeah, I think that answers the question. I think the question that I asked at the beginning, which is, you know, in what world would you be playing more Geno Smith than Justin Herbert? Well, I think this is the world. I think this is the exact world where it's like, you know what, based on how the play calling tendencies of the opposing team and the lack of sort of exciting weapons that can really deliver big ceiling performances for Herbert. Yeah. Okay. That'll get me off it.
Yeah. It's really tricky. I do think this game is almost the game that you have to figure out first. And by that, it could mean, like Matt said, it somehow turns into a slog, right? Herbert is not able to be super successful without high quality weapons, and Arthur Smith just bleeds the clock all game. That could be between three running backs, right? He gives it to three. That could absolutely be useless for fantasy, but there's so much opportunity at good prices on everybody besides Eckler, I guess. So that you do still, I think if you're building, you know, we talk a lot about on this show building a portfolio. I want to have kind of all the three outs to this game. The one we talked about at the very beginning, like, look, Eckler's the man. Let's focus in on some Eckler. Then let's also stack the game a little bit. And whether that's with, Algier, Huntley, CPAT, whatever, let's use some of this Chargers value, right? Because we're going to get to some other games that do have some expensive players. There's a lot of good running backs we might want to get to, et cetera.
Yeah, for premium then, skinny stacks in other games. You can afford it by going Herbert with these inexpensive options.
Right. You want, even without getting to Josh Allen, do you want Diggs? Do you want Justin Jefferson? Do you want Cooper Kupp? Do you want, you know, et cetera, on down the list? There's a lot of guys we like. Tyreek, right? There's a lot of the guys that we like, and this is a game that helps us get them, but there are a lot of
backdoor into some of these elite playmakers without stacking them necessarily with their quarterback, because you've got Herbert, DeAndre Carter.
DeAndre Carter is the Marquise Goodwin of this week, though.
Yeah, if we're being totally honest. Yeah, he's. I'm sure that the ownership is going to skew to Josh Palmer. I'm sure of it. But I'm just not sure that Palmer's much better. And you're going to have some salary savings with Carter. So that's, it's not like those are the two starters. That's it, right? Is there right. someone I'm missing?
The out of nowhere name is Bandy. Michael Bandy. That's the practice squad receiver who he's been active for a few games.
Okay.
He's a preseason superstar.
10 targets on the season.
Week 7, DeAndre Carter ran 50 routes.
Yeah, he played like 98% of the snaps. So basically,
worth mentioning with 71 air yards, I think he could have a huge game. It's very possible. So he goes over 100 yards and gets two touchdowns, like 5 catches, 102 and 2.
I mean, at that salary, you know, even 580 with one touchdown, you're winning.
Oh, it's massive. That's what I'm saying. That's why I want, and then some skinny stacking where you can do Eckler and Carter. There's just no one on the run. Oh my God. I guess using Carter quite a bit to make some lineups work. So you're going to get plenty of exposure to Carter this week.
And I think that's a good thing to kind of start to put a bow on this one is I think you can just use some of these guys as one-offs, you know,
yeah,
we don't talk about that a lot here, but there's so much potential value really on both sides, obviously much more so on the Charger side, but potentially at the running back position with Atlanta that you got a team, you know, you want to stack one of these other games we're about to talk about, and you got 4,300 left at that last wide receiver spot. You can play DeAndre, right? You can play DeAndre Carter. You don't have to have a Falcon. You don't have to have him with Justin Herbert. It's gonna be okay. But I think,
dude,
again,
no
this
Kelsey,
game is,
no Goddard, no Andrews. Yeah. You're gonna have to play some Everett.
Yeah. Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. Good call.
I mean,
yes.
A lot of Everett too. One off Everett's, one off Carter's, definitely one off Eckler's. It's interesting if Austin Eckler were a wide receiver. That now everyone is so focused on just loading up on wide receiver and not using your flex for running backs ever, right? There was, what was it, 5 years ago that it was a common thing to put running backs in flex in tournaments.
I still love to do it because, like you said, it's less frequent now.
Less frequent. Yeah. So no one does it. And, you know, this sort of a throwback where I look up and Eckler doesn't even have a top five ownership. It's like, oh, interesting. That's because it's the running back position. It's like it's the position you pay down for now.
And that's a really good point. That was what I was going to mention. I'm glad you brought that up with when I was like, oh, what about the Eckler Algier type thing? Because you think about it, you can really remove those names, but these are the types of players in good spots with good projections. This would be assuming CPAT was out, but specifically Eckler, right? The best running back on the slate, the best fantasy, him and CMC now are the best fantasy running backs in the game, and no one's playing him. We're going to get to some of it, right? But because you've got Ramondre now, ETN emerging, Chuba Hubbard is out, so you have Foreman again, and he just went off. You know, you have Deion Jackson now with Jonathan Taylor out. You have all these guys more in this $6,000 range that everybody then can do what Matt says. Well, how do you get Tyreek Hill? Well, you don't play Austin Eckler. You play Deion Jackson,
exactly.
Right? And so then play DeAndre Carter and Austin Eckler, or, you know, doing those little things, you just create a 2v2 that's like crazy high leverage. 2 weeks ago was my best slate of the year before last week, and it was the jamming Austin Eckler. Last week, jamming Christian McCaffrey. It's like everybody's playing Tyreek Hill. I can play Austin Eckler at no ownership, and all I need to do is have DeAndre Carter match Deion Jackson or whatever.
I mean, it looks like his ownership is going to be top 5 on FanDuel, top 10 on DraftKings, but it's still early. It's still early. These things shake out where he'll probably fall out of the top 10 on DraftKings in terms of ownership.
I think if I had to pick of
the Falcons running backs, Huntley is a little higher probability of getting two touchdowns.
Okay.
Andy,
I think that's fair.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going. I'm going for who's going to get two touchdowns of these two guys.
I think that's totally fair. I think last thing in 150, I think I would still mix in some Falcons running backs, even if CPAT's there. Maybe you put a little higher priority to CPAT, pray to God. You know, he's like the Swift of last week. We were like, if Swift is healthy in this matchup at 6,800, he's a smash. He scored an early touchdown and he has since told us he's not healthy. But CPAT, if he's back to old, CPAT had 100 yards and a touchdown not that long ago. and we've forgotten about him, and now it's the Chargers. So I just think I would still use some of the Falcons running backs. Anything else on this one before we move on?
No, yeah, I think we've covered it. Eckler, Everett, some Carter, and then definitely be open to Falcons running backs because we know they're going to run the crap out of the ball for better or for worse.
I mean, this is Arthur Smith's, you know, absolute dream scenario. It's
a home game against a run funnel defense. Oh, my God.
Yeah, being able to preach, keep the ball. I'm going to keep the ball away from Justin Hurt. You know, the coaches love that shit.
He's in the NFC, so he only gets to play the Chargers once every 4 years. And once he sees that run defense on the schedule, he circles that in April.
Yeah, exactly. So another bad run defense, two bad run defenses actually in this next game, which is another thing that has me concerned. Packers and Lions is a game that, again, we talk about the Lions every single week. Don't need to beat that to death. But, you know, a quote-unquote get-right spot, if you will, for the Green Bay Packers. But they, similar to the Chargers, don't have any wide receivers that are doing anything. Aaron Rodgers is publicly blasting, you know, these wide receivers. We don't know if Alan Lazard will be back. He's officially a game-time decision, I believe, now. Not that he necessarily matters, but he might matter for trickle-down effect. And then Detroit, for anybody that's been living under a rock, traded TJ Hockenson this week. DeAndre Swift is every day coming out with a new quote saying, and it gets worse. I'm not 100%. And now I wasn't 100%, he said. And then now I'm not even 90%. And now I don't know if I'll be 100% all year, he says. Right. So that doesn't feel very good, except for maybe Jamal Williams.
Yeah, he said he might be up to 89% in week 16.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly give me the warm and fuzzies for DeAndre Swift, but you start removing Hockenson. Maybe you remove some DeAndre Swift. Josh Reynolds has not practiced at all this week. DJ Chark is on IR. It does start to consolidate things on the Lions side, and we might be getting that consolidation on the Packers side too, right? Whether it be at wide receiver, if Lazard is out.
You're not going to say the name? Say his name.
Who, Aaron Jones?
The Sun Khalif God. Raymond.
Khalif Raymond.
We're all thinking different guys.
I was like, okay, he's about to say it.
And the chats on Samari Torre. So we're literally throwing all the different guys. Yes! But that's what makes this game's fun, I think. This game's pretty fun. Whether or not we're stacking it in the end.
Oh,
Khalif Raymond, I think, is a DeAndre Carter-esque even cheaper pump play, maybe even more upside. I don't know. And then I really like Aaron Jones. I have Aaron Jones tagged, and I also have DeAndre Carter tagged, by the way, in lineup HQ. Aaron Jones to me screams this is an absolute smash spot for him at also probably criminally low ownership.
Yeah, Dario dreams of this game.
Yeah.
I think we've hit on some key things. First of all, you know, going into this show, I wasn't fully on board with how weird and bad the slate was. Now I get it. Now I understand. Okay, so that's one thing. And the second thing is, if there's a week to play a running back in flex, it's this week. I think that's another thing we're figuring out. And the other thing I would ask, is there a way that you could play lineups without a quarterback this week? Is there a way? It's
the opposite of super
flex.
Can you
just all skip no quarterback? Like, I'm trying to figure out a way to hack the system here, because this is wacky.
Yep. Let me get Austin Eckler in the quarterback spot, and Aaron Jones in the running back spot. But you definitely outlined this slate is bizarre, because we're going to get through the two what should be the most appealing games, and we may not even land on a quarterback.
I can't find a quarterback I want to play.
Dario, what's your kind of lead into this game? Because similar to what you mentioned with the Falcons, you know, just establishing the crap out of the ball, I have like concerns about both these teams coming in and being like, all right, let's just grind it out. You know, Rodgers is going to run the play clock every single time. No. I have concerns about the game environment and the run heaviness. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think definitely have that concern a little bit here, but not as strongly as I do with the Chargers and the Falcons, and with another game on the slate, the Dolphins and the Bears. I think both those teams play just molasses slow. So I think that this game, I can see an outcome that I think is pretty likely where the Packers do get ahead. The Lions are kind of feeding Amon-Ra in garbage time. Khalif Raymond gets his targets. Jamal Williams maybe punches in a touchdown. And I think the Packers for most of the season, I think they've been underutilizing Aaron Jones. He's like their best offensive weapon, and it's not close. And in their last game against the Bills, even though they were losing, they stuck to the run because they knew that Aaron Jones was the only way they could move the ball. And against this Lions run defense, I think that Matt LaFleur will be able to figure that much out and feed Aaron Jones. And I think Aaron Jones will be able to get them a lead. And then I think you see the Lions in, you know, their most glorious state, which is garbage time.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, pay up at running back. Eckler Jones. It's a lot of salary for the year. That's the most salary we're going to devote to running back all year.
But no one's doing that, right?
That's a big takeaway here. That's a big takeaway. Because even the wide receivers, like we talk about it, other than Justin Jefferson, they're in these matchups that are either, you know, molasses slow games, or they're coming off games where there was a Davante Adams. Like, now there's question marks. What's going on with this offense? Seattle doesn't actually allow that many fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So you just go down the board and you're like, wait a second, can we play a running back in the quarterback position?
That's DeAndre it. Carter, I mean, and Khalif Raymond.
I don't know what to say. This is I hate playing Packers, but Aaron Jones makes sense. I like Khalif Raymond. I like St. Brown, of course, but the backup tight end for Detroit, not athletic at all. So that I'm not playing that guy. Brock something.
Right.
Is he back? He did get a concussion on Sunday. I was gonna ask your take.
James Mitchell, maybe.
Virginia Tech, he was kind of a big play-ish hybrid wide receiver tight end at Virginia Tech, as big play-ish as you can be at Virginia Tech in the passing game. But you know what I mean? I thought that was mildly interesting. He was a fifth round pick. You guys would know better about him than I, though. He didn't play hardly in his final year at Virginia Tech.
We only have his high school workouts. He wasn't an impressive high school recruit. He was, you know, an average dominator rating, you know, average just at, I mean, he's just 250 pounds. He's not super twitchy. I don't know. This is tough, man. This is just another game where I want a salary save on my Khalif Raymond and kind of, you know, play Aaron Jones and move on. This is Chargers Falcons 2.0. That's all this is.
I do think I have to chime in with this take that it's not too galaxy brained to play Aaron Rodgers with Aaron Jones and then one of his, you know, receivers and just like say some prayers on Sunday morning.
When was the last time Aaron Rodgers took down a Millie Maker?
Probably the last time he did it was when he played the Lions.
That's a genuine question for the chat. Someone must know. I don't know. It was last year at some point. Was it last year? Did he though? Plays so slow. I don't know how he can do it.
And he just, he stopped, you know, once he stopped running a few years ago and with the pace and now, you know, at least then he had Davante Adams and frankly MVS. And you could say, look, against the Lions, hit a 80-yarder to MVS, and you know Devontae's going to get his 30 or whatever. Maybe they could drag Rodgers along to a big score, and then the Lions are going to fight back. It's like, unless, two screens to Aaron Jones, and he rips off long. I just don't see how. And Rodgers isn't even low-owned. He's actually quite popular because he projects well because it's the Lions. I almost would rather, and I – You hate playing Packers, Matt. I despise Jared Goff in fantasy. Like,
no,
too
you can't
much.
Play him. You can't.
I think
play
you
him
can.
In
I think.
Tournament.
I think you can, but because quarterback is so bad this week, Aaron Jones destroys. Gets the Packers out to a big lead. Goff is throwing the whole. You know they're doing the Lions thing, coming back, and it's Amon-Ra and it's like Khalif Raymond, and that's it.
Yeah.
So you kind of have guys to play. So it just makes sense in terms of building that team. And it's cheap too. So
I guess.
Man, this is the week.
I came into this show enthusiastic. I worked out today, right? Like I'm drinking coffee. I'm energized. I got caffeine. This is really draining. I'm not. I just can't. What?
Dario, what do you think on this game?
Yeah, I think that ownership number for Rodgers definitely scares me a little bit. I think at this price tag with the upside we know that Rodgers has against the Lions, given his career, that would be encouraging. But I think that the ownership, if you're going to play Rodgers, definitely like in a portfolio of lineups, be below the field, maybe sprinkle in 5% or something. If you're making 20, for example, make one Rodgers lineup. I think that's how I would approach this.
Well, okay. So last time that he put up a big number, more than say 25 fantasy points, week 11 last year at Minnesota.
I was going to say that? Minnesota.
He almost hit 400 yards. Yeah. He had 4 TDs. He was on absolutely in fuego. That's one of those MVS games you remember. That was 120 yards and a touchdown for MVS. And then Adams also had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's
my question. Is I do believe, though, I believe wide receiver quality matters. That's one of the reasons why I can't play this guy, because he doesn't have Adams anymore. He doesn't even have MVS. He has rookies that drop passes
and Sammy Watkins.
Jesus Christ, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I just don't see how. He may prove me wrong. He may go throw for 400 or whatever, but I struggle to see how. Rodgers, Dobbs, Tonyan, who all project well and in a vacuum seem fine because it's the Lions and they're cheap. But I just struggle to see how that, like, say, with an Amon-Ra bring back, given all the ownership that's getting on those guys, it's like, how do you win a tournament that way? You know what I mean? I really struggle with it. So,
Jones Raymond.
Pay up a running back.
Lions and move on.
These are cheap, crappy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to see it. You know, I did the research. I just did it. The chat helped me, right? We found the game. The game. What is that? Out of what, 25 games? The last 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got one. With Adams and MBS.
Yeah, with Adams and MBS. Not Samari Toure and Romeo Doubs. Yeah. All right, let's talk about a quarterback that everybody always wants to play, as they should. Bills take on the Jets, which is another interesting. I'll just keep using the word interesting because sometimes it's not that interesting, but interesting in a way that it's Josh Allen, and you theoretically don't want to say anything negative about it. But again, this game environment, because of how good the Bills defense is, and frankly, the Jets defense is pretty solid too, and the Jets offense is not so solid, the game environment feels bad, right? So it's like you're never going to feel bad about Josh Allen, Diggs, Gabe Davis, whatever. But then even with Singletary, who we sprinkled a little bit in the past, now they bring Hines in. It's a gross game. Dario, how do we go about approaching this one from a stacking perspective in tournaments?
I think Gabe Davis is kind of – and anytime you have a spot where the Bills are heavily favored, like my mind goes to Gabe Davis because – just like the upside that he has on any given play, 98 yard touchdowns. So it's really interesting to me that he's actually cheaper on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings, like period, point blank.
That's crazy.
Even though there's $10,000 more to work with on FanDuel. So I bet that the ownership numbers are just crazy skewed with him. And I think that he's someone that, depending on what site you're playing on, like just kind of using him differently because of that crazy value that he is on FanDuel right now. But I think you definitely want to play some of him because we just know how good Josh Allen is. We know how good this Bills offense is, and they don't stop passing the ball when they get ahead. That's what sets them apart from any other team in the NFL is they're ahead. They're going to say, we're going to keep throwing on you because we know it works. We don't care. So I think that's why you play Josh Allen in these spots where if this was Jalen Hurts, if this was, you know, like Joe Burrow, there's always that concern of, oh, if they do get ahead in this spot, like they might just take their foot off the gas. But the Bills, you don't really have to worry about that.
Dawson Knox too. Right?
Bill's a tight end.
I mean, Diggs.
Two touchdown upside. I don't really have anything negative to say about the Bills, but I guess my question for you guys is, so to me, Garrett Wilson makes the fairly clear and obvious bring back. I guess if we really wanted to talk about Michael Carter, we could do it, but I think it's probably a little too much at a really strong running back position. As we're outlining, we want to play like five running backs, and Michael Carter's probably not one of them. But Garrett Wilson screams this obvious bring back for a lot of games. It's just, can the Jets be and Zach Wilson be successful Tredavious enough?
Bites back.
Yeah, that's my concern too. But he would be the guy, right? I would say it looks like Mims is going to play over Elijah Moore again. I don't know if you saw that quote from Robert Sala today, but Josh Allen to Gabe Davis stacks with Garrett Wilson bring back. What do you guys feel about some stuff like that?
Yeah, Josh, I love it. That makes a lot of that. You could actually play Jones and Eckler with Josh Allen. If you stack with Gabe Davis, it's not really possible with Diggs. It is with Gabe Davis.
And I think Tyler Conklin is the other bring back who's even remotely in play. I'm surprised his ownership's not higher given that his price is still dirt cheap because he's coming off just a massive game. He's kind of reasserted himself as the number one tight end. There was a week there, I think immediately when CJ Uzama came back, where that Conklin goose egg kind of scared us all off of him for a little while, but his snap share has been steady. His routes have been up around 60%, and he was the number one tight end in all of fantasy football last week. So I'm kind of shocked that he projects below 5% ownership on both sites. We know that Corey Davis is out again. So there's plenty of targets to get to Tyler Conklin. And I think that if I'm the Jets coaches right now, I'm telling Zach Wilson, like, whatever you do, if it's already been more than three, like, get rid of the ball in less than 3 seconds, whatever it may cost. And then if it's been more than 3 seconds, just throw it away. So I think that those short throws, looking for Tyler Conklin, he had, was it 10 targets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was a season long, but he's had games of 7, 8, 9 targets. So I think at 3,200 on DraftKings, that's my other bring back that I think is very much in play.
I'm going to be playing some Wilson, but I don't think that he is going to be a better value than, say, Raymond or even Terrace Marshall. There's a ton of value a little bit down the board from Garrett Wilson, and the game environment is not necessarily great for him just because the opposing defense and that secondary is just so smothering. Yes, they're going to be a lot of garbage time. They're going to be in comeback mode. That's the part of the game environment you like. The matchup part is the part that is suboptimal. However, Wilson getting benched at the half is interesting. If they bring in Mike White, that could actually fuel more Garrett Wilson, because Garrett Wilson has the athleticism. He has the athleticism to go get it in traffic. He has the athleticism to break tackles. You want a guy, if you're going to go up against this Bills secondary, you can't go up against that secondary with Corey Davis. Can't do it, right? Braxton Berrios, guys like that, get out of here, right? Value receivers, no, right? The guy needs to have, fortunately, what you have in a sub-5K wide receiver that one day is going to be a 7K wide receiver.
Yeah.
In Garrett Wilson. That's what you want. You want a guy that can actually go get these 50-50 balls and make plays on his own. That is actually the way you can get there against the secondary. So I do like Garrett Wilson for that reason, but I don't love him. I want to sort of limit exposure to this game. I think it's going to get dragged into the mud. I think you want a salary save with Allen and Davis and Conklin. I think that to me is my favorite, very lightly stacked option.
This reminded me of last week when we talked about the Dolphins game, where we just, you go through and you're like, you either like or dislike kind of every option. In this case, it was more so that we kind of disliked the Jets, but you get to the end and you're like, okay, well, I want to play Josh Allen stacks. I agree with you guys on, push me into a good old Gabe Davis tout that I do that for months and months on end.
Yeah.
But obviously, like Stephon Diggs, you can't really hate on Stephon Diggs either. But like, I don't have concerns about the Bills, right? And I feel like there's two, maybe three, if we want to include Dawson Knox, guys that I feel confident in playing. But I agree with Garrett Wilson. And we talked about this with Mike Gesicki, where it was like, look, I love the Tua double stacks. But like, that's a lot of money. You know, like it costs a lot. And the wide receiver position is so valuable that I really love to use the tight end in my double stacks or in my game stacks, right? You can play the Allen to Gabe. You get maybe Allen runs one in and he throws the two bombs to Gabe Davis like he did a couple of weeks ago. And I want to, because we know that the Jets are not going to be that successful, or that's our expectation, using the least opportunity cost position with the least amount of money on Tyler Conklin, who, like, beside the two games, like Dario said, besides the two games when Uzoma came back, it's like seven targets every week. He had 10 targets last week.
It's a great call. It's what Dario, he's already awesome call. You know, all, awesome he's all, you know, already. I've forgotten all about Jacob. Forgotten all about him.
Yeah. So I really like when we're going to struggle still after these next few games that we go through to find a be like, this stack is just the smash. When in doubt, we can just play a Josh Allen stack and we have this tight end savings that fits so well into roster construction. You want Eckler, you want Jones, you want those guys. I think this is a pretty fun way to do it. Anything else, Bills, Jets, from either of you guys before we move on?
Yeah, I think not much else there. Just remember not to overthink Josh Allen. Like, we all know that of all the quarterbacks on the slate, of all the stacks on the slate that could just go completely nuclear, this is the one with the highest chance of doing so. And
Gabriel Davis is a 4-touchdown game.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
He and Chase Claypool.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I'm glad that's the potentially the last
game. Dolphins Bears?
Dolphins Bears on the list. But I want to talk about, so we can do, Dario, if you want to share your screen, walk through the optimizer with Seahawks Cardinals, because I think this is definitely a game. Yeah, this is definitely a game, but I'm interested to see where you guys are headed, because it's kind of like, also James, I guess I should, quick housekeeping, James Conner is a game time decision again. I don't know what's going on with him. Everything else seems, I believe Marquise Goodwin is questionable. Other than that, it's wheels
actually
up.
Actually, on the low key degree of transactions, Daryl Williams was put back on the IR.
Good call.
So that does make things a little less murky, because if he's healthy and you have the Connor Williams disaster, like, then you really don't want to touch him. But I think him being out means that, like, even if Connor plays, right, say Connor plays on the first drive, he's like, ooh, I shouldn't have played today, guys. You get a, massive
Eno at low
game.
Ownership. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that this actually creates a potentially nice leverage spot for Eno. Again, like, there's no shortage of cheap running backs we're interested in. There's no shortage of elite running backs we've talked about on this slate. But I think that Daryl Williams back on the IR actually kind of really affects that backfield in a significant way.
You're flexing Eno. We're playing running backs and flex this week.
Eno at quarterback.
But it also would give you options in that flex spot, looking, you know, there's only two afternoon games, but you have both in this game, you have Ken Walker on one side and you could have Eno on the other. If you have some combinations in this game, skinny stacks, all that kind of stuff, you could be able to, you know, you get to the afternoon, maybe you didn't hit the stone cold nuts in the early slate, you have Walker, you can swap to Eno and then go to whatever, Metcalf or something off of somebody you have, or Mike
Evans off of Metcalf or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So I guess let's, do we want to get started here? I think that the biggest thing for me in this game is, I think the market is kind of overreacting to that 19-9 dud that we got between these two teams a couple of weeks ago. The ownership for Lockett and Metcalf is really not as high as you would expect it to be in a game that has a total over 50. It's the highest total on the slate, and we were excited for this game 2 weeks ago for good reason. And, you know, football can just be random like that. Two teams can shoot out 1 week and then hold each other down the following. So DeAndre Hopkins being back instead of Marquise Brown changes things too. This is the game that Marquise Brown got hurt a couple of weeks ago. So I guess if we're talking about stacking Geno, it's funny that our default assumption is stack Geno, like forget Kyler.
Yeah, stack Geno. Things that we never thought we would have been saying before the season started. Like, oh yeah, don't even worry about Kyler. Just play Geno Smith. But we could also look once we run this through,
love
see
Kyler.
What maybe Kyler
love
stats
Kyler
look
too.
Like too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys start with the weapons though from Geno? Because I'm really interested in this stack. Can you play just both? Not can you? Would you prefer to play both Metcalf and Lockett? Or are we looking at that a-hole Noah Fant at tight end again, or just single stacking Geno? What's kind of the preference?
I do think that they're kind of like a cheaper Tyreek and Waddle, right? They're like very good, explosive, talented wide receivers who we know are like capable of elevating their offense. And we've seen games where both of them absolutely smash. So I think this is one where maybe we don't want to overthink it and definitely build some lineups with the two of them.
Hey, like, why not?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Smash it. See where this goes.
As you're doing this and setting the settings, one thing I love about a game like this,
put running back at flex.
Okay, good call.
You want to see what that looks like instead of Nuke, we're bringing back Connor or Eno. Is that what this is doing?
We're gonna have lots of different combinations. We have Ertz here.
Got it.
We forced the single team stack, but we didn't force any run backs.
Interesting that Ertz does show up as
I did force a run back. There's gonna be at least one, because I think between Ertz, Rondale, Hopkins, and like sprinkling Eno, I think that there's enough interesting things on the Cardinal side that you don't want to play naked Seahawks stacks.
Yeah, and I like to as we start to scroll through this, I like how, you know, Nuke is probably the preference, and you just get like so much of the targets on both sides that, again, on a gross slate where we're kind of not expecting any game to be 45-42, if you just so happen to get like 28-27 in this game, you could just soak up everything, right? Because you have such high target shares. It's like you said, it's like a baby Dolphins game kind of.
Yep.
This is very chalky.
Ramondre, ETN, Palmer, Nixon. Yeah, I didn't even see that. Wow. Who's in the defense probably?
Defense, Commanders.
Commanders, yeah.
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 But, so here's a question.
Oh, there's Deion Jackson. Oh, then there's
with
your Hopkins.
And Foreman.
See, this is a little bit better.
Hopkins, yeah, this is lower ownership for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this ownership number on Deion Jackson is going to be like 35%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deion Jackson. Oh my God. I don't know. But Zach Moss is going to maybe throw a monkey wrench in this.
I'm very curious what you guys think really quickly. I know we're doing game stacks and stuff, but say you're building this game stack, Geno, Lockett, Metcalf with, let's just say it's probably going to be Nuke, Ertz, or Rondale. So you're not using any of those potential running back spots. How are you guys kind of prioritizing the running back spots around probably a pretty low owned game ish? So you're kind of worried about ownership, but not too much. You know, we have ETN, you have Deion Jackson, you have Foreman, you have Ramondre. Do you guys have a preference for building around a stack like this with those running backs?
I think I've been just kind of looking at the chalk this week, and I think they, for the most part, I haven't seen anyone that looks like major fool's gold.
Yeah.
So I think I'm still kind of waiting to get a better feel over the course of today, tomorrow, to really hone in on who my favorite chalk plays are. Like, I think ETN is just absolutely smashing this year. We love Travis ETN. And then Ramondre, another guy. I think that Damian Harris is obviously an injury to monitor in the context of Ramondre. And then I think Mixon, you never
the lineup genius
good
loves
about
Mixon,
playing.
Bro.
Oh God, I was hoping we wouldn't have to talk about Joe Mixon.
Yeah, the lineup genius is a fan.
Well, Mixon has the strongest indicator for positive touchdown regression in the entire league. He's like underperformed his expected touchdowns by like two more touchdowns than the next strongest underperform or next, I guess, most. You know, you guys what I'm saying.
Yep,
we get it.
So I think
it's a home game against the Panthers.
Yeah.
This is another one of those things. Like, if you're not going to play Mixon this week, never play him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I might never. we might have just reached that territory. But anyway, I thought in the context of this game, which is like, this is a huge perk of this game, right? You play the Geno doubles. Who do you want to play at running back? You can do it. Do you want Eckler? Do you want Ramondre? Do you want Mixon or whatever? They all fit around this game stack. And so that's another huge perk of it.
Oh yeah. No, it's great. It's been the gift of Geno. He himself only 5.8K still.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
They haven't moved him up enough. So we just keep playing him. That's, we have to do it. We have to. Yeah. It's pretty funny that he's still significantly less expensive than, say, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well,
not significantly. Yeah. Not significantly.
But he shouldn't be.
Wait, no, he's not significant. He's $100 less. That's what he said. He's still less, though. Those are the worst use of significantly in the history of podcasting.
No, there's probably worse.
For some reason, I had 6.9K. But even at 5.9K, still not interested, Rogers. Sorry, you're not gonna fool me.
The ownership is the biggest thing for me. If you're like directly comparing Geno and Rogers, like based on the way they've played this year, you would think Rogers would be just being slightly more faded by the market and projections right. in general. But if you can get Geno, $100 is never gonna make or break a lineup, probably. But just getting him cheaper and lower owned, I think that's a pretty clear sign. And he's just the weapons, right? We talk, Matt, you've been hammering home how much receivers matter for quarterbacks. And, you know, if Aaron Rodgers had Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf to throw to, we'd be firing him up every week too.
Yeah. Well, we would. The conversation on the Lions game with the Packers would have been a whole lot different if he had one of them. If he just had DK Metcalf, we would be like, okay, how the hell do we fade, you know, this? And but he doesn't, and Geno has those guys right against it hasn't come through in the biggest way yet, but the Cardinals secondary is something since the first episode of this show that has ever aired, where we were like, the Cardinals secondary, particularly mm-hmm. their boundary corners, is like the worst, some of the worst, if not the worst in the league. Attack it and just attack it every week. It worked week one. It has been up and down throughout the course of the year. I mean, Andy Dalton threw for like 400 yards on these guys. So yeah. Like it's gonna happen. It's just as Dario said, it was 19-9 in this matchup before. The Seahawks have kind of been not as awesome for fantasy over the last month or whatever, and people are just writing it off.
Oh, you got to keep going back to it. Just go back to the settings, Dario, mm-hmm. And see if we can force in Eckler. And then turn up the correlation.
I'm gonna keep Lockett in on it.
Yeah, keep Lockett.
Love Tyler Lockett.
Force in Eckler. Now turn up the correlation high. Correlation high under stacking.
No, not chalk.
Oh, my bad.
And he's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Now turn that up. So now we can do more skinny stacking.
This looks good. Yeah.
You guys don't want a high chalk lineup?
That was the first.
I think we had no preference. See, look at we got Walker and Eckler. Oh my god, and Etienne. Look at this. Oh my.
What do you guys think about playing? That's another kind of not difficult part of this game. It's actually easy, but if you don't want to jam Lockett and Metcalf into all your stacks, will you play some Walker with him? Will you play some Fant, or would you just then prefer to go with a single stack if you're not going to play both wide receivers?
By forcing the high correlation and only selecting one of the receivers, we actually almost like engineered this to include Walker. If you did this, there is a setting, I believe, where you could say, do not allow running backs to be stacked with their quarterback.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So we could turn that off. If the natural running back option is someone that you don't believe correlates well, where Walker, I think the jury's still out. Right. Now, Homer's playing, right?
He definitely was.
He's not hurt again. I mean, he gets hurt every other week. So I'm only I have to ask the question. So
I believe he's back.
I think if Homer's in, it's a little it hurts the reception upside a little bit for Walker. But I still think Walker can catch passes. Mm-hmm. I think that he's competent in that area. And it's not the craziest thing to do here because this is what a game stack is. We are betting that this is a game. We hate these other games. I like this game. I want to see Kyler stacks too.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this game screams play it, stack it. This is why we have the show. Everything else that we've talked about is like all the reasons not to stack it.
I really do like Rondale. I really do like that it brings up Rondale here.
Like everybody, Ertz. We can also exclude Ertz too. That's another option in the settings.
Mm-hmm. Everybody will play Hopkins on the brink, right? This game is not crazy chalky, but I guarantee you, if you start Geno, Metcalf, Lockett, Hopkins, there's going to be no matter what tournament you're in, somebody else is going to have that start. You may get different somewhere else, but people are going to have that start. The moment you start deviating from that, Rondale, Eno, including Ken Walker, you start doing that, you're getting the same game environment that those other people are at low-ish ownership, and now you have a slightly different build that's just as good. That's absolutely just as good. So I really like the Rondale inclusion.
Yeah, that's great.
Matt, I hate to break it to you, but Zach Ertz is the tight end 3 in points per game this year.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, you missed 10, last show. We targets. We said never Zach Ertz. His per target ceiling is so bad. You know, he's just not an efficient player anymore.
We saw.
However, this would be the week, right? I mean, you can't play Everett in every lineup.
Or right. Conklin.
And the Seahawks have been a pretty good matchup for tight ends. So I think that's
all right. You can play some Ertz. I'm just saying.
Jesus, he's 5,100. Why does this price keep going? I guess nobody else does anything and he scores 12 points every week. So I don't know why his price. Yeah, he hasn't scored more than he had one 16 point game this season.
Eric is a fan of spike weeks. You just don't get those from Ertz, unfortunately.
You'll notice in the old portfolio, there is zero Zach Ertz because of exactly what you just said.
He's a spike week aficionado.
He's the lowest standard deviation among all tight ends.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Can I throw out one last crazy thing before we do that? And maybe you can start building the Kyler settings because Kyler. He fits more on the Kyler side.
Oh, Kyler.
You want a Millie? If you want a sprinkle in this game stack, maybe this is your highest portfolio exposure game stack, right? Which I think is maybe what we're getting to over these last 10 minutes or so.
Put an Aaron Jones in this one.
Love that. A guy I would sprinkle into my Kyler stacks because I think he would be the unlock of Kyler's ceiling is Robbie Anderson. He didn't get as much playing time as we had hoped last week. Did have 3 targets on a very minimal route share. But Cliff came out and said, we need to get Robbie involved. And he said something about like, we're going to force feed him the ball or something. Now it's Cliff. So I'm not getting out over my skis with anything that Cliff says, but I think it's at least interesting, right? A like 0.1% owned Robbie Anderson. Maybe this is the week he plays all the snaps, gets the downfield targets. And that could be the Millie type play.
Right. Can we allow RB stacks here with Eno? He's a pass catcher, right? Or not. No.
I think that
turn it off.
Yeah, the way that I envision a big Kyler game, probably because we have to keep in mind Kyler is more of a running threat.
He has to run in for Geno. Okay, I got it. Yep, I'm with you. I understand.
Good call.
I understand what's happening. Yeah, so except the Kyler doesn't really run for touchdowns.
See, I like this with Walker. The Kyler ceiling, the Seahawks get out ahead.
This is great.
Walker crushes into 60-yard touchdowns like he does every other week. You get awesome other running back plays, ETN and Aaron Jones, and a completely our boy DeAndre Carter, and completely unowned Kyler stack that includes Robbie Anderson. Like, this team is beautiful.
All right, and Robbie Anderson is not going to project.
He didn't even pick
well.
Hopkins.
Yeah, it just happened.
It just of course.
I was going to say Robbie Anderson's never going to project well because we like you said we don't know what his role is, but when you're shooting for those tail outcomes where something just kind of unexpected comes to fruition and you want to be in position to benefit from that, I think that Robbie Anderson at 3,800 completely off the map is pretty sharp.
Look at that upside projection for DeAndre Carter, 18.
Yeah. Love it.
That's his 90th percentile outcome.
I mean, the other
thing about crazy. That's not crazy at all.
And the other thing, can we take a second to talk about Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, Aaron Jones as the three running backs in this lineup? Like,
we're gonna have to delete this recording because this team is making it move over here. We might be entering this team into some tournaments. But think about it. Like,
you can just have people gonna be complaining. Oh, look at these three running back lineups that are crushing this week. Oh, gross.
When I win the Millie with it, they can suck it for all I care.
It's like, did you see the slate?
Yeah. But I like this also because, you know, it's jamming the best plays. We got our Aaron Jones in there. ETN is just, no one's saying anything negative about ETN. It fits the perfect game scenario, game script with Ken Walker and the Kyler stack. And then even, I don't know if it, you know, I don't know the nuts and bolts behind it. What's working? Getting DeAndre Carter in there, I know the projection is really good, but he also adds that little extra bit of leverage because people are going to play Palmer. You know, people are probably going to play Everett, and you're just little minor tinkers throughout the course of this entire lineup that, like, no one would look at it and say, oh, that's too crazy. They don't say that, but it's still like a really high leverage, unique lineup.
Right. See, like, when I look at this, for example, I'm looking in at Evan Engram right now, and it surprises me that he's more expensive than Tyler Conklin and higher owned. Like, this is someone where I could very easily see myself just saying, let's flip those two guys. I'm a bigger believer in Conklin, and I personally feel even better about that lineup after doing that.
Kaboom. Yeah, the only thing we're missing is a Bill.
Yeah, which is true. You could probably do something with Hopkins if you wanted to take Carter out or something. You know, you could tinker around with Rondale and Diggs or something. Yeah.
Those lineups are probably down the board if you just keep going, you know,
I'm sure there are bills
that are going to show up.
So I think you could have done put Nuke up to Diggs and Carter to Rondale and have a Rondale and Robbie Anderson double stack with Kyler.
those are a thing, I'm sure. Someone's going to try to just have the bracket Hopkins the whole game defense, aren't they? Someone's going to do that.
You would think. Breaking news, which is relevant to this show. So Keenan Allen is officially ruled out. DeAndre Carter is questionable with an illness. I'm hoping
flu game coming. Come on.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's what we get. Not
we need
not
the flu game.
Get.
DeAndre Jordan. Wait, that's also, isn't it another player?
DeAndre Jordan.
Isn't it weird that NFL players just stopped getting COVID? You guys thought about that?
Yeah, exactly. Funny how that works. Let's flip through a couple more of these, and then I want to hit one more game because I do think there's some concerns, but also some interesting.
Bears or Raiders, Jags? Because I'm seeing a bunch of Jaguars showing up in these lineups.
I like both. If we want to hit the Jags game, we can too. But I also think there's a couple interesting variables to the Dolphins.
Yeah, let's talk about Dolphins.
Okay, let's hit Dolphins Bears real quick. Or let's see if there's anything else that pops out here.
Oh, we got a Brock Wright lineup.
Oh, baby.
Metcalf with Hopkins. Love the bring back there.
No, Metcalf. Yeah.
See, Evan Engram again.
Terry McLaurin's been so good.
McLaurin. Yep. Mm-hmm. We can just exclude Reynolds in the future.
Yeah. There's your Khalif Raymond.
Of course.
For Reynolds. Let's see. It does like Mixon.
Lazard's going to get out of there.
Does like Mixon.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why. Well, he's chalky.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Let's talk Dolphins.
Dolphins, Bears is the next one. I think Dolphins are like low-key on our list. You know, they're not the Lions. They're the offensive version of the Lions, where like every week they present upside at multiple positions and everything is so consolidated and we know they're going to throw. And frankly, we know they're going to be successful throwing because it's a great coach with Tua throwing to Tyreek and Waddle. The issue is they're playing the Bears this week. Now you say, oh, what do you mean? They're going to score a bunch of points on the Bears. Yeah, probably. But Dario outlined the pace of this game is an absolute slog. The Dolphins throw and they score, but they play really slow. And the Bears, I mean, if the Bears could run 35 plays in a game, they probably would choose to.
Is this a Tua thing? Do you think that McDaniel wants to play fast and Tua just he just doesn't like to?
I don't
know. It's interesting. Right. It's like the one flaw in McDaniel. He seems to get everything else right. Seems to be clearly the most, you know, the savviest of these rookie coaches. But they play slow. That's
it could
the only
be
issue.
A Vay with Goff situation where they are taking a little bit more time pre-snap because it's like a little more puppeteering than most other quarterbacks.
That could be it too. That could be Makes it too. Sense. All I know is, like we talked about before, there's not a lot of exciting tight ends in the slate, and give me a reason to play Gesicki.
Yep. And again, he'll be a leverage way to play your Dolphins stacks. You're not going to run out of you're not going to run into a shortage of Tyreek Waddle double sacks with Tua in tournaments. I'm not saying it's crazy popular, but look, Tyreek Hill just keeps absolutely dominating, and Jalen Waddle had a 30 spot last game, and it keeps working, right? On a slate where there's not much that anybody wants to click in, they know that they're going to get their volume in this Dolphins passing stack. The problem is the Bears side. Like, I don't want to play any of these wide receivers, tight ends, running backs on the Bears, but what Dario and I were discussing before the show, you want to fit in some of these superstars? Do you want to fit in the superstars on the Dolphins side, but also maybe you want Eckler or you want Aaron Jones or whatever? I don't think a naked Justin Fields, like kind of making Fields your bring back at 5,300, right? Tua throws all his passes to Tyreek and Waddle anyway, or Gesicki.
Fields, Waddle stacks.
Like Fields, naked Fields, skinny stacks, or naked, you know, Fields, using Fields as the bring back to your Dolphins players.
That would essentially basically be like not playing a quarterback.
Yeah, what's the difference?
What we talked about half an hour
Take
ago.
Take a running back.
Can you not play a quarterback? You're essentially saying that. Like he's just a bring back. He's not really a position.
Correct.
I love that. I freaking love that idea.
So that's all I really have on this game. But I thought that
that's
that we
fun.
I thought that was a pretty interesting way to build teams because he's super cheap.
You don't always have to follow the same formula. Right. Mm-hmm. You can do weird shit, especially when the slate is so underwhelming and you get one game you like. Do some weird shit. Permission to do some weird shit. Fields with Gesicki and Waddle. Fuck it.
I don't see why that can't. I really don't see why that can't win tournaments. What do you think, Dario?
Yeah. I mean, Fields' rushing prompt is like 50 yards. And that's egregiously low because he's been like over 80 for most of the last few weeks. So, yeah, I'm very much on board with this. And we all know that trusting anyone in this Bears passing game is like, you know, it's like just set your money on fire instead of playing DFS if you're going to do that.
Yes. I just wanted to say over the last month, Justin Fields' lowest scoring game would be the highest scoring game for Aaron Rodgers. Just throwing that out there. Nobody's interested in Fields. His lowest game in the last month is 17 fantasy points. Aaron Rodgers has not reached 17 fantasy points in the last month. So, you know, just
did
a little...
I mention that we don't really like Rodgers around here?
is that horse dead? I think that horse is dead. last game we were going to talk about is Raiders Jags, and I do think I am glad you're forcing us to talk about this one because. Travis Etienne looks like a smash. Josh Jacobs is projecting really well. The Raiders literally, not an exaggeration, did not get to midfield until the middle of the fourth quarter last week against the Saints.
2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Eric.
Yeah, it was. And it was Carr wasn't even in. They benched everybody and then they got to midfield. But the Jags D actually allowed the Broncos, you know, disaster of an offense, score some points. So I do think the Raiders look like they're in a good spot. And Matt mentioned Jags, you know, Ingram and some of these, and ETN obviously are showing up in a lot of optimals.
Yeah,
I think
the computer likes these guys.
The Jags look good. So we should talk about this one. What's your, Matt, what's your initial lean on this game?
Yeah, skinny stack again. Skinny stack. You're doing weird shit at quarterback this week. You know, we're doing some Fields and we're Kyler Geno and, of course, Josh Allen, and then you're doing weird stuff, right? And then when you turn up the correlation on the lineup genius, boom, it's giving you these Jacobs. You saw a lot of these Jacobs Ingram.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You're going to get some Kirk in there. It's all good, man. It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's probably not going to be a shootout. That's the issue.
I don't think it's
not teeing up to be a shootout, fellas. I wish it was. And I know some people might think it might be. And the game total is 48. That's kind of cool. But I don't see it, man. I don't see it. I think that if I was betting, I would bet on this going under. And I would bet on Arizona, Seattle going over.
What do you think, Dario?
Right. I think that Josh Jacobs, I mean, he's chalky as well, but I think there's a lot more enthusiasm around Travis Etienne. He's kind of like the shiny new toy, but Josh Jacobs has been just so good this year, and Derek Carr has been equally bad. So I think that if I'm Josh McDaniels, you probably want to be keeping the ball in Josh Jacobs' hands as much as you can. And like you just said, the Jaguars defense made the Broncos look good. Melvin Gordon and Latavius Murray both found the end zone. So
even Russ threw a touchdown.
I hate to talk about a different game, but before I forget, and we never talked about Nyheim Hines at all.
Oh yeah.
With Josh Allen. He's on the mildly interesting side on DK, at least. Is he not, or no? Not yet.
I'm
fine waiting a week and just seeing how they use him.
I think we want to see some signs, not necessarily like, oh man, you know, he played 35 snaps, just like getting some, oh, that was interesting. He was just out there for every third and long or whatever. Right. Or in the no huddle, they get into the 2 minute and it's like, oh man, now Singletary's out. Right. Cause I think they wanted to do that with James Cook, and just trying to do that with a rookie running back is difficult. I think that there's going to be Nyheim Hines spots. Like if like the Chiefs game,
this can't be it though. Right. This I'd rather play Carter, same price, play Carter. So I don't think you're going to play much Hines, but I wanted to make sure that I asked you guys, cause that was a curiosity I had. With this game, I just think that, Josh Jacobs against the Jaguars, that's probably a good idea. And pick your guy, pick Kirk, Engram, ETN. This is a great game to skinny stack, but I just, the 48 point total says you got to skinny stack it. You need exposure. Great. Let's do it. I just can't, get all the way on board. I can't. Trevor Lawrence, this is the ultimate fraud quarterback matchup. that's my problem. I think that's the problem that I have. I think this is a bad matchup for both these quarterbacks. I think they're going to underwhelm because they're not that good. And I think that somehow McDaniels is asking Carr to do things he's not comfortable doing for some reason. He looks
awful.
Yeah, McDaniels not reading the room with Carr. It's weird. Like, it's like, hey man, maybe just try to figure out what worked. Someone figured out what worked for a few years there with Carr. So why don't you go figure that out and come back to us and not just try to implement your system? Mm-hmm. God, it makes me crazy.
My only counter is, so Travis Etienne, I believe, is probably going to be the highest owned running back on the slate, and for good reason. He looks pretty good to me. I'd like to click that. I would like to click that button as well.
Etienne Raiders. That's a matchup that makes sense. Again, we're playing running backs. There's a stack right there, running back stack.
The only thing I will say, that's if I'm building a portfolio again, there's so many running backs we want to play. A Lawrence, I don't care if you play Lawrence just to Evan Engram, like, or play Lawrence to one of his wide receivers, play Devontae, bring Devontae back. Darren Waller is questionable again. He practiced on a limited basis all week. So Foster Moreau,
Allen of tight ends.
Yes, Foster Moreau may be a thing again at tight end. I think you can play some. I would probably only play Lawrence skinny stacks. Pray for the two rushing touchdown game like we got a few weeks ago. Man, but Lawrence. I do think, like, from a leverage stance, it's like if 40% of our opponents have Travis Etienne, and we play 2% owned Trevor Lawrence with, you know, whatever, 5% owned Evan Engram and 3% owned Devontae Adams. Play whoever the hell you want, like, or around those guys. You know, it really doesn't matter. So I think I would sprinkle that into a 150 set.
Now, Eric, did you know that in that game where Trevor Lawrence rushed for two touchdowns, he did not hit 25 PPR points?
Yes, We ignored that conveniently.
I mean, the Aaron Rodgers. Come on. I think he's like Kyle Pitts. He's the Kyle Pitts of quarterbacks. I'm willing to let Lawrence beat me until I see it.
Yeah. To be fair, to be clear, I prefer all these. Here's another one. Do you think we would have said a couple months ago, like, I much prefer Justin Fields against the Dolphins to Trevor Lawrence against the Raiders? But
I'm very happy for Justin Fields.
That's how I feel.
I mean, think about where he got drafted, the situation, right? Pace and it was a terrible. I thought he was doomed. I thought they were going to ruin him, right? Like, oh, look at these other guys. Oh, Mac Jones gets to go to this coach that's been visiting him at Alabama and having dinner with Saban. Oh, it's such a friendly situation. And oh, Trey Lance gets to go, learn at the feet of Shanahan. And like Justin Fields, like, hey, I'm going to Chicago. and that, for him to come out of this as the best quarterback from this class, I love it. And I'm also totally here for Zach Wilson getting benched this week.
That's what we need. Justin Fields, keep running. Zach Wilson gets benched to feed our Tyler Conklin. And you build that Bills game stack around your naked Justin Fields with a Tyreek bring back or a Waddle bring back or whatever. Very interesting tournament construction this week. Before we get out of here, as always, if you've watched, we land on one final conviction play. We'll call it. Some other places call it flag plants or whatever. I don't want to steal their juju. Conviction play that we discussed here today. That's the one thing you are most confident in for tournaments this week, Dario.
I think you have to start with Aaron Jones. That Lions run defense so bad. The only reason I'm kind of making excuses for myself on why Mostert didn't hit last week, because I think that he was in just an absolutely perfect spot. But that game script, I don't think anyone expected the Lions to play most of that game from ahead. And Mostert still pretty much delivered on yardage, just didn't find the end zone. And I think that in this spot, the Lions defense still hasn't stopped hardly anyone from the backfield. And we've seen that Aaron Jones is by far the best weapon in his offense. I think that he's my go-to.
And the Packers defense, not bad either.
Love that. Matt, what do you got?
Yes. Pay up and play your running backs. Pay up for running back, play your running backs. You're going to run into a bunch of chalk guys. It's fine. You don't have to play all. We had the one lineup with all the chalkiest running backs. All right. Maybe not that lineup, but pretty much this is going to be one of those lineups where this is a weird week. Do some weird naked fields, get weird there. Get weird with your running backs and flex. Just go get weird. But this may be the week where we invest the most in the running back position. And there's a lot of great options. Just go have fun building your running back skinny stacks this week.
That's kind of combining. This is what tends to happen on the show. I take what you guys said, and then we're going to combine it into kind of a cumulative take. It's running back, definitely, for me. I think we kind of outlined why not necessarily any one of these game stacks is above all, rising above everything else, although we like a few a little bit more. I think the way to differentiate yourself is through the running back position. There are going to be some incredible projections from a point per dollar sense, living in that from Deion Jackson to Joe Mixon range on DraftKings. And they all look great. I don't really have much negative to say about anyone, but Deion Jackson, Donta Foreman, Ramondre, Mixon, ETN, et cetera. There's going to be like eight of them. They can't all be popular. And then, even if they're not popular, nobody's going to go up and get Austin Eckler. That keeps Aaron Jones' ownership in check. That keeps, right, Josh Jacobs' ownership in check. All these guys end up being the leverage on the slate, and they're all great plays in their own right. You don't have to do, I like the little Robbie Anderson type stuff, but that's like millie shots or whatever. You're playing some single entry tournaments. You can play awesome teams with awesome running backs that are low owned and still stack a game or still play the Fields Tyreek thing, or you can play a freaking Seahawks game stack, which we spent 20 minutes walking through, and play Austin Eckler and play, you know, Joe Mixon, not Joe Mixon, and play Josh Jacobs, those guys that are just going to be a little bit lower owned, in my opinion, by Sunday than the Ramondres and ETNs of the world. So normally it's like, hey, let's get fancy with a game that maybe other people aren't playing. I'm not sure that that's exactly mm-hmm. it. I think the running back position is a great way to do it this week.
Mm-hmm. Do either of you guys have a candle nearby, perchance?
Oh, no.
I think we need to say a prayer for the Bucs and the Rams and the fact that this game, right, preseason, Buccaneers-Rams, we would have thought for sure this is a game we'd be talking about on a show like this.
Oh,
but we just went an hour and 20 minutes without mentioning Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, Tom Brady. And I think it's just just pour one out for both of those teams.
Was that the NFC Championship game last year or the NFC?
It was divisional? The divisional. That was a hell of a game.
It's shootout. A 42-point yeah. total.
42. Rams Bucks 42 total. Absolutely insane. I think there are probably a couple pieces you could sprinkle into tournaments,
stop
but
it, Aaron. From,
yes, you can. 100%.
Of course you can. Of course.
I mean, 15.
Yeah, we saw Fournette found his way. It's a home game for Fournette, so he's going to find his way into some lineups.
Yeah, but definitely not a crux of our game stack. So that will do it for us. Thanks for hanging out with us, as always. I also will throw out really quickly is please monitor the injury report. There, it is absolutely insane by this point in the season and insane today and this week. Some of the things that you know we said today may change based on the injury report because there's lots and lots of questionable guys. So make sure to check that out. You can come back here. On Sunday mornings, we got shows. I'm on one of them leading all the way up until lock. And of course, you can follow Matt and Dario to get all your lineup needs, including the lineup genius and so much more. But we will be back next week in week 10, hopefully printing some money with a naked Justin Fields and Austin Eckler lineup that we can come back in and celebrate. But for us three and Steve behind on the ones and twos, we'll see you guys next week.